this morning? You hear me? Yeah? Okay? Yeah? Just checking. This morning I want to begin a series of messages based on a question that the disciples asked. It's interesting, I'm saying I want to begin a series. I'm not going to hold it for 2 weeks, so it won't fall. This was one of the disciples' better days. Okay? Often we would see them bickering with one another about who was the greatest. And they would also, you know, get to a point where they want to know who's going to sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. If it wasn't that, we read of them falling asleep when Jesus wanted their company, or running away when Jesus needed them the most. A lot of the time, the disciples were actually good at letting themselves down, and also Jesus letting him down. And perhaps that's got a familiar sound to it. Maybe we often find ourselves in the same position. I can certainly identify with that. There are times where you just know you haven't done your best, you haven't given your best, and out of that you may have let yourself down and also let the Lord down. So I want to turn to Scripture where we find the question that disciples asked. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. You'll be quite familiar with some of this. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me, the door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then he goes on to say, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So within the scripture, here we find the disciples are hanging around while Jesus goes off to pray. It doesn't say that they were praying together, but the disciples obviously take an interest in what Jesus was doing. One disciple asks, and we don't know who it was, it doesn't tell us. Perhaps the others put him up to it. You know the kind of situation, I'm sure you can picture them discussing it, saying, "No, you ask, no, you do it, you do it." They're frightened in case, you know, what if it's a silly question? Am I going to look foolish? Have you ever been like that when you're going to ask a question? You maybe even been at school or college or even amongst your friends and you think, "No, I'm not doing it." Well, anyway, there was a volunteer, one of the disciples, then asked the question. There are some commentators that reckon it's one of the best questions that any disciple or follower of Jesus could ever ask the Lord. "Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. There was a question that was so important. You know, there is actually nowhere in Scripture that gives any information that John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Yet, the disciples observed that John did so. We know that Andrew, excuse me, one of the disciples, that's Peter's brother, he followed John the Baptist along with another unnamed person. Some say it was John, others believe it was Philip. And then they left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. In John 1, verse 35 and verse 40, it tells us the next day John, that's John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So we know that he was one of the people who were there. They heard John's teaching. They heard the things that John said. So therefore, coming out and asking that question was born out of knowledge that they had, that John taught his disciples how to pray. But whether we have some information of what John taught isn't that important, except to recognise that some of Jesus' disciples would have known firsthand what John the Baptist taught. So what follows is familiar to most of us. Jesus responds to his disciples' request with what we have now commonly come to call the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at the content of that another week, not this morning. So we have this simple yet beautiful model of how to engage in conversation with God the Father. Many people have memorized it over the years. There was actually a generation in the past where it was taught in schools. It would be heard regularly in churches around the world. Books have been written about it. Sermons have been preached about it. And yet this prayer was in response to a request, Lord, teach us to pray. Even those disciples who walked closely with Jesus in the days of his early ministry sought help with their prayer lives. Prayer wasn't something that came naturally to them. They had to learn it. The disciples didn't ask for instructions on sharing the gospel. They didn't request to be taught how to heal. They never asked Jesus to teach them how to study the scriptures. They asked him to teach them how to pray. They knew it was important. Scripture, after all, is full of encouragement and also advises us to pray. Excuse me a minute. Prayer is one of those disciplines that most followers of Jesus, you and I, would struggle with the most. But when you read this scripture, there's an encouragement in it. When a disciple who has shared his life, you know, listening and learning from Jesus, can actually ask a question like this, we should find comfort in knowing that it's actually okay to ask the same question. Lord, we don't know how to pray. We want to learn, but we're not sure how to do it. Lord, teach us to pray. So if you feel your prayer life is no good, weak, perhaps sporadic, lacking faith, then you're in good company. Even the best disciples throughout the years have felt that way. Many church leaders feel that way too, and I include myself in that. There are times when you think you're just not getting anywhere, and therefore we struggle with it. Sometimes we feel that way because we've been led to believe that there's only one particular way to pray, or you need to be in a certain place, or the specific times of the day. The truth is, there are many, many, many ways to pray. Over the years, you may hear from different people about the way that works for them, and therefore they recommend that you should also try that. But I would say each of us need to find our own place where we are comfortable with. But the main thing is, pray. It's not a case of prayer, you know, in one way will suit all. Now, you may have heard this story. It's about a man who forgot to switch his phone to silent at church. And during a time of prayer, his phone rang. So because his phone rang, the pastor drew him a dirty look and tutted like that in front of everybody. And then after the service, some of the congregation went up to him and complained about him interrupting the silence. And then all the way home, his wife lectured him for his carelessness. By this point, you could see the shame, the embarrassment, and the humiliation on his face. He's never stepped into church again. That evening, the same man, he went to a bar, and he was still hurting from his earlier experience at church. And by mistake, he spilled his drink on the table. The waiter apologised, gave him a napkin to clean himself up, then went and got a mop and cleaned up the floor. The manager, who's watching, noticed all this, came over and offered him a complimentary drink. And he said, "Don't worry, we all make mistakes." That man has never stopped going to the bar since. You see how a reaction can affect other people. It's not always one way fits all, or one way suits everybody. And there are times where perhaps we have said or done something that's discouraged somebody and made them think, "Oh, I'm not going back there." And just through this story, it's made up, by the way, it's not true. The reaction of some people as a result of perhaps things that we have said it should be a certain way. So it's very easy to put people off prayer or even put them off church by making comments about their choice of words or even not following the way that we usually do it. Perhaps we have a formula that works for us as individuals. That does not mean that everybody else has to fall in line with our way of doing it. Everybody prays sometimes. But whether you think of it of prayer or not, there are those cries for help when we're in some sort of trouble, or the silence that overwhelms us when we ponder something beautiful in God's creation. One of those moments recently for me was when that double rainbow appeared over Buckingham Palace when the Queen died. And there was something in me that just looked at that and I felt God was showing his approval on his life, on the service that she gave. It's just one of these things. And there's some things like that that just spontaneously happen within you. And it's a prayer you offer thanks to God. So there's not this, I didn't have to go away and find a cupboard somewhere and pray quietly. You just respond as it happens. So prayer isn't always the way we think it should be. Perhaps you've had something, you know, stir within you when you listen to a piece of music, something that just connected with you. Or there were certain words that you heard that just resonated within you. You connected with it. You see, in their own way, they're all prayers because they come from deep inside us. They connect with something that's happening on the outside. Perhaps you may realize that you've been praying much more than you thought you were. Now, according to Jesus, the most important thing about prayer is to keep doing it, is to keep at it. This is why, after teaching his disciples to pray to the Father, he tells the story of the man who went to his friend at midnight asking for bread to feed his unexpected guest. And it was because of his persistence, his friend gave him what he needed. Being persistent in prayer is easier said than done. Many people will have doubts about prayer. Not even sure if, is anybody listening? Have you ever thought that when you're praying? Is anybody, you know, is God, are you there? Are you hearing me? And of course, that's understandable if you've been praying for years for something that still hasn't happened. Or if you're going through a trauma which at the time seems as though it's never going to end. Jesus encourages us to believe that somebody is listening. He wants us to believe in a generous, gracious, and kind God. A God who will give us each day our daily bread, as in meeting our needs. A God who will forgive our sins and also help us to forgive those who have hurt us This is why Jesus follows up with his questions. If your child asks for a fish, who would give them a snake instead? Or if you're asked for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? And of course, the answer we know is none of us would do that. See, he was making it so obvious, you wouldn't do that. Everyone who asks receives from God. Everyone who seeks finds. Even those who find it hard to believe in the power of prayer also receive. In Mark's Gospel, in chapter 9, we read about the father who asked Jesus if he could heal his epileptic son. And Jesus said to him, all things are possible to those who believe. And in many ways, the reply from the father speaks for all of us when he answered, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. There's that bit in us that still has that doubt, that still is that bit uncertain about what we're asking for. So what better way to communicate with God about our struggles, our lack of faith, or even our doubts, is prayer. Jesus says, keep praying, keep knocking on the door. God will come to us. We may not receive the answer we want, but he brings something far more precious. He draws close to us. He draws close to us. Maybe at the heart of all our prayers, that's what we really want. For God to come to us. When all our words run out, we can still listen out for God. When all our own ideas come to nothing, there is still silence. And in the silence, if we tune our ears, we can and will hear God. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. So you see, prayer is not just talking to God. It's us listening out for God. I'm sure there's a part in all of us that recognizes this. That's why we're instructed to pray our Father. We have someone that we are speaking to remind us that we are loved from heaven. We are listened to in the deepest way. Prayer is what we say, but it's also how God responds. So if you feel that you're no good at praying, if you think you don't pray very often or even at all, you may want to consider stopping and thinking again about that. Keep asking the question that Jesus longs to hear us say, Lord, teach me how to pray. I'm aware that I'm preaching about prayer when most of us will already know about the subject. And in many ways, we don't need more information about prayer. We just need to pray. That's how we learn. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he didn't put on a prayer seminar or discuss various types of prayer or even see why prayer was important. He didn't give techniques. He simply taught them by praying. You know, becoming a person of prayer isn't about learning to do it right. It's about learning to engage God in conversation and getting to know God more intimately. Where you can go to him as a friend, as someone who will listen, as someone who does care, who cares deeply for you. Knowing that he loves you, knowing that he only wants the best for us. So it may not come naturally to us. But then look at it, it didn't come naturally to the early disciples either. But as we do it, as we pursue that, we can ask just as they did, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And the simplest way was simply just to do that. Now I'm sure all of us would like to know the blessing of God upon our lives, that our relationship with him would come on and develop and it would go in leaps and bounds, that we simply want to know him more, that we would hear his voice, that it's not just us talking to God, but there is something in response. That's what a relationship does. And that's what giving time for God to speak into your lives does, when he helps us develop that very relationship. Can I ask, is there anyone here who would like to be blessed this morning? Yeah, quite a few of us. Good. We have an excellent place to start. Because I think it'd be good, if you're up for it, the people next to you could pray for you. And simply pray a blessing over you. And it's as simple as that. It's not anything complicated. There's not a system in place where you have to say the words. No, you don't. Lord, bless this person. You can name them if you know them. Lord, bless them. So you see, prayer is simply just about getting in that place and just doing it. I hope you're comfortable with that. If you're not, if you don't want somebody to pray with you, just tell them. They won't be offended. They might be surprised, but they won't be offended. All of us want to be in that place where God can have the opportunity to have input into our lives, where we can know his blessing upon us. So let's do that now. I'm just going to leave some time for us to do that. Just go to the person next to you, near you, whatever, and just pray with them, you know, that the Lord would bless them. I'll leave time for this, and then I'll close the prayer time before handing back to Mark. You back up? You know, this morning, let me tell you, you're leaving here blessed. You're leaving here blessed. And the good thing about it is we impart that blessing to one another. God can use each and any and every one of us to do that, to impart that blessing onto one another. And I would encourage you,
to make that part of your prayer, to have that opportunity to impart blessing onto others, that God would flow through each of us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pass on to Mark to lead us in a closing worship. Thank you.